This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We trust that program will be a blessing to you. We're glad you've tuned us in. For those of you who would like to contact me, again, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. You may want to get a pencil and a piece of paper so that you can write those addresses down when I give them to you. You can get a copy of this CD if you write to me, and you can also re-listen to this program on the website. If you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, then I'll need your address so that I can send it on to them. So if you need my addresses, I'll give them to you at the close of the program. Now we're going to look at Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 1 today, and I'm well aware that this is Father's Day. My message is not really a Father's Day message. If I were to line my preaching up around the holidays, I would not be able to do consistent verse by verse or at least section by section preaching through a passage of Scripture as I like to do on this program. And since I'm dealing with Acts 13 now, I want to spend some time with it. We've come to this point where Paul is going to be really the main character in our story, and I find this to be an important transition in Acts. But that's not to say that I don't want to recognize that Father's Day is important as well. And so while this is not a Father's Day message, my message is that to be a good father, we're going to have to hear God and trust in His Word and teach our children to do the same. And so if there's any fathers listening to me today, I hope you know that you really can't carry out your responsibilities properly unless you personally have a personal relationship with the Lord yourself. In other words, you have to have the right father in order to be a good father to your children. And to have the right father, you have to be born again. To have the right father, you have to receive the Lord. You have to believe on the Lord, because John chapter 1 tells us that as many as received Him, to them gave He the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so, to become children of God, we have to be born again. By nature, we're children of wrath. We're children of disobedience, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And so when I think of fathers today, I realize how important it is for us as fathers to first be right with God so that we can teach our children reverence for the God we trust. And then they too personally need to trust in the Lord if they are going to themselves be right with God. But we can't teach them these truths unless we know these truths. So to be a good father, we have to have the right father. And for those of you that are listening to me and are giving your fathers honor today, if you've had a father who reverenced God and taught you the gospel as I did, then thank the Lord for him. Don't sit down and say, well, I wonder if I would have believed this if I'd have had a different father. I wonder if this isn't something I've been taught that I wouldn't have believed otherwise. And so many kids go through a testing time in their lives when they think the only reason they believe in the truth is because it was, in a sense, crammed down their throat. But if you have a father who's taught you the Bible, then you personally need to take that Bible and find out for yourself what it says. You personally need to deal with the issues of truth. And if you've had a father that has tried to do that for you and has laid that groundwork, and if you've personally come to know the Lord yourself, thank God for a father like that. And so on this Father's Day, we want to honor our fathers, but we want to particularly honor our fathers who have been able to be good fathers because they have the right father themselves. Acts 13 and verse 1 then starts out, "Now in the church that was at Antioch there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said," now notice it was the Holy Spirit who told them to do this, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, it appears that they got alone with God. They disciplined themselves through fasting, and they prayed to confirm what they thought the Holy Spirit was telling them, and then they laid hands on them, that is, they identified with them, and then they sent them away. Laying hands on somebody was simply a matter of identifying with those people, and that's what they did here. They sent them away. They didn't give them authority that the Holy Spirit had not given to them, but they did confirm that in their minds the Holy Spirit had called them for this work, and they were in fellowship with the work that Paul, who is called Saul, that Paul and Barnabas were going to do. Now you'll notice that this was a work of the Holy Spirit. This was Paul and Barnabas being sent on this first missionary journey where they were going to preach the gospel. They were first going to go north, and later on they would go to the west. And they were going to preach the gospel to the places where the Lord would direct them. And so as we look at this, we'll notice that we don't do today what they did in that day. There was absolutely no mention of funds here. Now, I believe the second time they're commended to go on the second missionary journey, they're commended, it says, to the grace of God. And the point is that while all of us who are saved have a responsibility to support the work of God wherever we find it to be done properly, yet at the same time, the missionary is not working for money. The Bible says that a person who is hired to be a shepherd is not a real shepherd at all, but the true shepherd is willing to give his life for the sheep. But a hireling will flee. That's back in John's Gospel. I can't give you the exact reference, but the hireling is not of God. And so these men were not hired to do what they were to do, but the assembly knew that God had called them to do this and was willing to send them to do this work. And I have no doubt that this assembly should have had some concern for their material well-being. But at the same time, money was not the issue in what we call their commendation. The issue was this something that the Holy Spirit wanted them to do? And so most people who are going into the work of the Lord today, they particularly if it's missionary work, they join an organization. These men didn't have an organization to join. These people did not set up a 501c3 ministry so that people could donate to it and get a tax deduction. They didn't have a board of directors other than their local assembly, which they were accountable to. Now you say, well, that just doesn't work today. You have to have your support raised before you go. And I'm telling you, and I'm living testimony to the fact that this still does work today. I've been doing this since 1982, and while there, I can say like Paul that there are times when the money has been real thin, and there's been times when we have been well taken care of. We've always eaten. We've always had our needs met. It is true that there are times when I have not done some things I would like to have done because I didn't have the funds to do it, and I wasn't going to go out and make a business of what I did. I wasn't going to sell the gospel in any way. I wasn't going to charge for the gospel in any way. And so even on this program, you will notice that we don't make an appeal for funds. And early on when we started the program, we made it clear that the program was being paid for by Christians who are in fellowship with the work, and we do not appeal to the people we are preaching to for funds, because one of the objects of this program is to try to convince the unsaved that they need the Savior, and the unsaved have no right to contribute to this work. They're not a part of this work. There's a distinction between believer and unbeliever in the Bible, between light and darkness. And while we don't want the unsaved to feel that it's an us against them kind of gospel, yet we want the unsaved to realize that they're really not Christians until they are reached and saved. They really aren't part of the work until they are reached and saved. It's one thing to be raised in a church and to be called a Christian. It's another thing to be saved and a part of the work and in fellowship with the work. And so these people went out depending on the Lord to meet their financial obligations, and they were not going to be sustained by a business-like approach to the gospel. This has been a hard thing for me because I'm a CPA by training. And I know that normally you have budgets and you do planning and all of these things. I know how to do those things, and I know that you're supposed to plan ahead. But since I've gone out in the Lord's work, I've had to go day by day, depending on the Lord to meet my needs and to even guide me as to what I should be doing by the way in which He meets my needs. And I have personally never made an appeal for funds in a gospel meeting. And I have never personally made an appeal for funds when I'm preaching the gospel over the radio. And I have personally never knowingly taken funds from unbelievers. These are just principles in the scripture that are quite clear in my mind. And I never have in any way tried to make money off the gospel. And so that was the way these people went out. This is the way they worked. And we see so very little of this kind of work today. And then we wonder why sometimes it seems like what we are doing is very superficial. And the converts we get are very superficial. Sometimes we don't even preach the gospel in the same way that it was preached in the Acts of the Apostles. We add our own little wrinkles to it. We ask people to maybe come forward or decide for Christ or follow Jesus, and we use terminology that people don't understand. And we have to wonder if because of our inability to depend on the Lord, if we've really led the people who need to be saved to really, truly depend on the Lord. But Barnabas and Saul did something that people just simply, by and large, don't do today. They went out depending on the Lord, guided by the Holy Spirit, in fellowship with their local assembly, their local congregation, holding themselves accountable to their local congregation, but more than that, holding themselves accountable to God. It was nice that there was two of them that went out, so they would have fellowship in the work, and people and the two of them would be able to help each other as they went out and did this work. Now, you'll notice that actually, as we look at this, starting at verse 4, so they, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and then they went to the Jews there in Cyprus, and when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue to the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. So now it's quite clear that three of them had gone. John Mark was one of them, and we'll be talking about him a little bit later on. But as we look at them, you'll notice that they did what the Lord wanted them to do. They went to the Jew first, and they preached in the synagogues of the Jews. And then you will find out that usually when the Jews would turn their back on the gospel, then they would go to the Gentiles. Now, what's interesting about this, and we'll look at it next time, is that when we do preach the gospel, when we are guided by the Lord, Satan is watching and Satan resists. And so we're thankful that there is still a Spirit-led ministry available to those who are simple enough to believe God for salvation and then believe that He knows how to send His missionaries into the harvest field. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy blessing upon Thy Word and upon all who have listened today. We just trust that the program will be used of Thyself. We thank Thee for Thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.